Hello, this is Pastor Galen from Chicago First Church, and welcome to our podcast. Before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're listening from, we're glad that you're here. We hope that the message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. If you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast could be your first step to joining us at C1 in person sometime, or in our online community that meets every Sunday at c1naz.org/live. Well, thanks again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message, and more importantly, we pray that you would experience God and that you're encouraged today.
Can we just take a moment and say thank you to all of those who were working with our kids, the folks who made all of this possible in terms of the environment and the platform? Can we just do that and say thank you? Have you ever had that moment when you look around your life and you just do an evaluation? Usually these comes when things get stupid, right? When something happens and you have a tendency to think, this is not how I thought that was gonna work out, right? You get the job or you get the promotion or something happens and it's supposed to be one way and you have expectations and it doesn't work out that way. This is a season when we plan events, and we plan events thinking that this is how this is going to work out. But you've had more than one family gathering, as I have, that didn't go exactly as we thought it would. And sometimes there's difficulty. That comes certainly in all of our endeavors in life when the expectations aren't what we thought. And we begin to wonder if we should have even started that to begin with. Certainly that happens when we go on a journey like the journey that is raising a family, raising children. Marriage is that kind of a journey. There's moments that we expected, and then there's those moments when things take a turn. This is my favorite Christmas movie. I haven't watched it yet, but since I know how it ends, because I've seen it so many times, I'm able to go back in the story and pick a favorite scene. And the scene I'm going to show you is my favorite scene, because it's one of those moments when this is not how George Bailey thought it was going to work out. It's Christmas Eve. He's a romantic at heart. He loves it, but things have gone very bad in the business. He gets home, and his family, instead of there being this joyous celebration, well, here's what happens.
George, what's wrong?
Wrong everything, George. You call this a happy family. Why do we have to have all these kids?
Dad, how do you spell Frankenstein?
I don't know. Why, ask your mother.
Where are you going?
Going out to see Zeus.
You told me to write a play for tomorrow.
Yeah. I don't know, it's just my favorite moment in the movie when we have this thing that we think is going to go one way and it doesn't. I love that line. Why do we have to have all these kids? Life gets that way, and expectations that we have, and in those moments when the expectations don't meet our experience, we have a tendency to get very, very discouraged, wonder if we should ever start, and then we wonder if we should continue. Welcome to Christmas Whisper. We believe that God has something to say to us through Christmas. I really do believe that over these 2,000 years that as this day has developed, one of the reasons God has just allowed it to be so secularized is because it carries a message to secular people. It carries a message to all of us. And it's more than just a celebration. It is an opportunity for us to hear from God. When we talk about a Christmas whisper, we're not talking about an audible voice necessarily. I've never heard an audible voice from God. And if I do, I hope he gives me like a 2-minute warning that will let me prepare for that moment so that I can get ready. But God speaks. Sometimes it's a spiritual nudge, a verse of scripture that will capture our attention in a different way. Sometimes through a message, a dream, a thought, an idea, direction that God is giving, something he wants to say to you and through you. Sometimes a whisper from God can come by God closing a door and he's directing us, or sometimes it's opening a door. Sometimes it's through a song or through a lesson that's learned. Sometimes it's in gratitude. When we get to a place where we're just overwhelmed with gratitude, it's amazing how God can speak in those moments. In service to others, in prayer, and as we gather together. The challenge this season has been for each of us to come into it expecting to hear God speak. And therefore, we are taking, being intentional about pausing, which is kind of what you've done by gathering. And those of you that are watching online, you're pausing. You've set other things aside for the intention of hearing what God might have to say, to listen to what he might be encouraging us or directing us. And then we're challenging each other to record that, to write that down, and then to act on it, to not to do more than just hear it, but to act on it in this season. Sometimes it's just a few words, and I challenge you to share those with me. You need to know that if you share them, I won't use them without your permission. But I got one this week that I had permission to use. One of our gentlemen said that he was sitting, he was actually watching TV, and there was a pastor who was talking, and the Lord spoke to him in a moment and said, you know, have you ever just thanked your wife for being your wife? And he said it was a thought that began to kind of take hold and take root, and I began to do it, and it became a way of life, and it was this incredible moment that God used to bring unity and strength and comfort into a relationship. That's somebody who grabbed a whisper, the thought, could have just let it pass, could have just thought, you know what, maybe I should have, or maybe I could, and that's where it stops for most of us. But if we act on it, it can become, as it has for this family, a way of life. It's those moments that when expectations don't meet experience, that sometimes God speaks the clearest. Meet the Magi. These are familiar characters in any Christmas story or development. Historically, we know just a few things about them, but they are very, very much a part of the story. And where they ended up on their journey following the star was not at all where they thought they were going to end up. Let's listen to their story. Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child and his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. What do you do if you follow a star, but it doesn't lead where you thought it would? A few things we know about the Magi. They were a mixture, and depending upon who you read, they were a mixture of folks who were involved in what would be called science later, the study of the universe and the stars, and also the word magi, of course, is magician. So they were individuals who were seeking deeper truth. We know that they came from probably Babylon or Persia, and one of the reasons that they connected this idea of a king being born is probably because so much earlier, so much prior, they had been exposed at some point in time, possibly the book of Daniel, to some scriptures that spoke of this, and that might have been their connection. We know that they traveled a journey that took months. It was not, this is the kind of thing where it was hey, let's just go check this out. This was very, very intentional and well planned. We know that there were at least two of them. We usually put three in the manger scene, but because we have the three gifts, but we know there were at least two, and there could have been more. We know that they arrived somewhere between a few days after and 2 years after Jesus' birth, somewhere in that window. Now, we put them in the manger scene, and that's fine, but we do need to remember that, they were not part of that initial, that night celebration. And even though they weren't, God brought them, for lack of a better word, to the party. And we know that they were searching for a king. This was an important journey. We know that they followed a star, or as it's translated, a rising light. We also know that they very likely expected a palace, not a hiding place. After all, it was a king. They would have expected royalty, not a refugee. And we know that in spite of all of their background and all of their study and all of their research and all of what they saw, which was totally different than they would have expected, they worshiped anyway. We know that they were key players in a story much bigger than they could ever have realized. No way for them to realize that these steps that they took, this journey they went on, these gifts that they brought, would be talked about in 2019. And here's probably one of the most difficult things that has been a part of my job over these many years. Here's what I want you to understand about these children who were up here. What I want you to understand about Simon, who we dedicated, what I want you to understand about you and where you are. These individuals were part of a story that was much bigger than they could ever realize, and so are you. The decisions that you make. Think about the family tree and how things progress, the commitments these parents make. By the way, we had baby dedications and baptisms in all of our services this weekend. Last night, this morning, and then the service to come. All of that, recognizing the importance of this moment, recognizing that the decisions that you make and the priorities that you have and the point at which you decide to do something like worship anyway has a life cycle that continues through generations. You're part of something much bigger, and so were they. I listened recently to a TED Talk by astronaut Chris Hadfield, and he had taken a journey to the space station, and the title of it was Overcoming Fear. He says, you know, I decided I wanted to be an astronaut when I was 9 years old. I watched the men who walked on the moon and said, who wouldn't want to do that? And so he put himself into all of the things that you have to do. I mean, it's a lifetime journey. He began to study extremely hard. He went through all of the training. He applied to all of the right places you have to make. I mean, it's just, and at some point in time, there's either some divine sovereignty or a little bit of luck involved that will help you to be where you are. And he said, after all of that and going through all of those things, he had arrived at the point that he realized that when the sun come up that day, he was going to get on a ship that was going to take him off the earth. He says, it's one thing to dream about it and study and work. It's one thing to do all of that. But when you're in that van and they've begun to suit you up and you turn the corner and the sun is coming up and you see that ship, it gets real. You know that in a few minutes, one of two things is going to happen. You're going to be, on one hand, floating weightlessly in space, one of the very few people ever to see the Earth from space, or you'll be in fragments. And he describes those last few moments this way. Listen.
And then about 3.5 minutes before launch, the huge nozzles on the back, like the size of big church bells, swing back and forth, and the mass of them is such that it sways the whole vehicle, like the vehicle's alive underneath you, like an elephant getting up off its knees or something. And then about 30 seconds before launch, the vehicle is completely alive. It is ready to go. The APUs are running. The computers are all self-contained. It's ready to leave the planet. And 15 seconds before launch, this happens.
12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 8, meaning start, two, one, boost ignition, and liftoff of the Space Shuttle Discovery, returning to the space station, paving the way for future missions.
It is incredibly powerful to be on board one of these things. You are in the grip of something that is vastly more powerful than yourself. It's shaking you so hard you can't focus on the instruments in front of you. It's like you're in the jaws of some enormous dog, and there's a foot in the small of your back pushing you to space, accelerating wildly straight up, shouldering your way through the air, and you're in a very complex place, paying attention, watching the vehicle go through each one of its wickets with a steadily increasing smile on your face. After 2 minutes, those solid rockets explode off. And
a couple of phrases that I want you to think about. In the very beginning, he said, those nozzles on the bottom begin to swing like church bells. And you are then, he says, you recognize that you're part of something. You're in the grip of something vastly more powerful than yourself. And the most difficult thing, I think, sometimes for us to understand is what we're connected to. The fact that you are an on-purpose created being by God, he has a plan and a purpose for your life, and though you cannot feel the pressure underneath, though you don't sense the smoke, and though you don't recognize what you're attached to, you are part of something incredibly and infinitely greater than you could ever imagine. And so I wanted to do something. I asked the Lord to do this for me, and I'm asking him to do it for you, because far too often we forget that our decisions are not just about us. The direction that we take, the orbit that we decide to get into, the journey that we make, isn't just about us, it's about those who follow us. And so I want to remind you of that by connecting these two things, by connecting the fact, the next time you hear church bells, I want you to remember something. I want you to remember, like those nozzles on the bottom, that you are part of something greater, that the decisions that you make and the sacrifices that you make and the gifts that you give and the time that you take will go on for long after you are here. The Magi were part of something greater than they could ever have realized, and so are you. Remember that when you follow a star and it doesn't lead where you thought it would. There's a bigger story being told. There's more details. There are acts to follow you. And your gifts, God just might use that to record for eternity. So what do you do? Well, a couple of lessons we can learn from the Magi. One is that when you arrive in a place that you didn't think, that you didn't expect, keep looking for and following the light. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. At some point in time, the light had disappeared. They were in Herod's palace, and then when they continued, the star reappeared. The light reappeared. Don't quit. If you quit when you arrive someplace that you wasn't expecting, sometimes you can miss what God is doing. And by following the light, let's be clear about what I mean about this. I mean only one thing. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of the life. The light won't fail you, but the light is Jesus Christ. He's not one of the lights. He is the light. He's the brightest light that will ever shine into your life. What do you do when you reach a point, you made a decision, you started something, and it was the right thing, but suddenly you find yourself in a place you didn't expect? You keep looking for and following the light. What do you do when you follow a star, but it doesn't lead where you think it would? Remember the Magi. I wonder, was there any conversation on their part when they came to that place that we refer to as a stable? Was there any conversation that said, should we leave? I mean, we brought some serious gift here. I mean, this is some serious value here. Is this really? If they would have given those gifts to Herod, they could have scored some major political points. But they didn't. They worshiped anyway. And I do not in any way want to minimize what you might be feeling or the hurt that you might have this season. This can be a painful time. For some of you, this Christmas will be the first since. I know. But I would challenge you to remember that that light, that Savior won't fail you. And though you may do it through tears, worship him anyway. Allow God to speak to you in those moments. Bring your gifts to him. Sacrifice for him. Serve him. Worship him anyway. We often have this thing about God where he's a vending machine. And when he does something good, you know, we'll do a little bit just so that he'll maybe do a little something for us. And we keep him at a distance. That's not Christianity. That's not what God calls us to. He calls us to go with him on a journey. And there will be high highs, as there were for the disciples. Incredible moments. And there will be valleys. And those who make it all the way through are those who have determined that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And my own personal scoreboard is irrelevant to what he is doing. And though we do it through tears, and though we do it sometimes through doubt and fear, we do it anyway. Worship him anyway. And then when you follow a star, but it doesn't lead where you thought it would, well, don't stop listening. Listen for the whisper. We talked about the whisper taking different forms, and in this case, we would look to this verse, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. God spoke, and of course we know the reason. The slaughter of innocents would follow that, and so God spoke to the Magi to listen for the whisper. I want to go back to our astronaut here for a moment. The title, the subject of his talk is Overcoming Fear, and it's a worthy talk. You should check it out. The title of it is What I Learned from Going Blind in Space. What I learned from going blind in space. One of the things he says up front is, he says, in the astronaut business, we have a saying, there is no problem so bad that you cannot make it worse. There you go. What had happened was that he had safely, of course, they arrived at the space station, and it came time for him to take a spacewalk, and he describes the beauty of that and what it's like. I mean, you're literally circling the Earth. Any given day, there would be 14 sunrises and sunsets that they would see every day by virtue of the travel. And so you're not circling the Earth as much as you're going with the Earth on this extraordinary orbit. Just incredible moments. And he says, in the middle of the spacewalk that I was on, and that's him beside a piece of equipment that he's working on. He was not tethered. His hand was holding on to a rail when suddenly a film formed over his right eye. And in just a few seconds, he was blind. Couldn't see. But he said, I still had my left eye. We adapt, if nothing else, as astronauts. But very quickly, that film moved across. And then, again, just a matter of probably less than a minute, he was blind in both eyes, hanging on in outer space to a handle, traveling at a speed that's far beyond what any of us could imagine. Normally, he says, in moments like that, the normal reaction would be panic. But he said, my training reminded me, while I couldn't see, I could still hear. You see, we had not only practiced accomplishing our mission, we had prepared ourselves for what could go wrong. As a matter of fact, we had practiced everything that they could come up with that might go wrong. We were prepared. And automatically, when I couldn't see, I knew I could still hear. And I knew that not only could I still hear, I could still speak, and there was someone who was out there with me. I think about Simon and these other children who were on our stage and those that we baptize and dedicate. The reason that it is so important to develop a lifestyle of following Jesus, to make sure that they understand who God is and how God speaks and what to do in a given moment or situation, is because there is a point in the future, there is a point in their future when they arrive at a place that they didn't expect and you could never have expected. And they get there with a moment, and what kicks in at that point in time, as they are on their way to their destiny, as they are traveling towards their God-ordained future, When they hit that moment, sometimes the difference between going forward and letting go and quitting is your ability to realize that though you can't see, you can hear, you can speak, and there's someone out there with you. Listen for the whisper. We grab these thoughts. We're not looking for a Christmas whisper that'll just make us feel good. I mean, that's fine. That's cool if that comes. But that's not what we're about. We're about completing what God has called us to complete. When you follow a star and it doesn't lead where you thought, my prayer is that somehow you will pause, you'll listen, you'll reflect and record, and then act. Keep looking for and follow the light of Jesus. I know it may be difficult because of the grief, or maybe the anger, or the fear, or the chaos, but in those moments, give him your gifts and worship him anyway. And listen for the whisper, for he is faithful. Like for Justin to come back out, we have set aside just about a minute in each of these services to pause as a church family and listen what God might be saying. I think about Christmas Eve, which is just a few days away, and the opportunity that we have in that moment, that environment so beautiful and so incredible, and a voice to which God will speak, and this room will be filled multiple times. Many of those folks will be our family and friends who may have checked out of Christianity or walked away or just kind of never really embraced it. And we believe that God has something to say. Maybe it's an invite that he wants to talk to you about making. Maybe it's a place of service, or maybe it's something else. But for the next few moments, as Justin plays, let's reflect on him and the whisper. Is there a face that the Lord's brought to your mind in these last minutes? Is there a step that he's calling you to take? He might be calling you to come home, to step closer. Maybe there's a word of encouragement that he's given you, not just for you, but for others as well. Father, we're grateful for your presence. We're grateful for the fact that you speak. And we mess it up a lot. There's times when we get confused and our thoughts get in front of yours, but I thank you for the fact that you keep speaking, and that if we persist and if we follow and if we look for the light and if we will step into moments anyway in spite of what's going on, and if we will listen, that you will speak and guide and direct. And I thank you for what you're doing right now, the two or three words of direction you're giving. Where there is someone who needs to start out or start over with you, your word says that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us. So we pray that prayer. We lay everything before you. We ask that you would forgive us for our sins and be our Savior But we know that it doesn't stop there. It starts there because you also want to lead us and guide us and direct us all the way home and be our Lord. And for those, Lord, who have arrived at 2019 Christmas and this is not where they thought they'd be, this doesn't look what they thought it would look like, I pray for grace and courage and just your presence to wrap them up and bring comfort and direction. And we give you praise, honor, and glory for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us on C1's podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, go to c1naz.org and click on Next Steps. There on our website, you can also find our service times and more information about our church. We'd also invite you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll always have the newest episodes. And feel free to share today's podcast with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us, and have a good day.